Welcome to the Voice of Christian Liberty. I am Pastor Calvin Lindstrom, and I am joined again by Mike McHugh. And today our interview is going to focus on a book written by William Henry Green entitled The Book of Job Unfolded. Mike has served at Christian Liberty in a variety of capacities, and he served as the editor of the Book of Job Unfolded. And we want to talk today about William Henry Green and the Book of Job and the benefit and blessing this commentary can be to you and to your families. Mike, we'll begin with simply the question, who was William Henry Green and why did you decide to edit and republish this commentary on the Book of Job?
Well, first of all, William Henry Green was born in 1825 in New Jersey, and he attended as a relatively young man Princeton Theological Seminary, graduating from that institution in 1846. Just a few months later, was invited to come on staff at Princeton Seminary, and he taught there from 1846, late in the year, until 1849, when he stepped aside from his early work as a professor at Princeton and took up a call to be a pastor at the Central Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, which he undertook that work as a pastor from 1849 to 1851. And then he sensed the Lord's calling him back to Princeton and the seminary work there that he had been previously engaged in. And so in 1851, he does return Henry Green to Princeton, and he takes up a chair once again in the Biblical and Oriental Language Department at Princeton, and he continues there, Calvin, all the way until his death in the year 1900.
Just for some of our listeners, Princeton Theological Seminary today is a very unbelieving liberal institution, but in God's providence for many years, it was the bulwark intellectually and theologically for the remnant of the Presbyterian Church still committed to the truth of Scripture. And so even after other parts of the larger Presbyterian denomination had gone astray, Princeton, at least for a time, remained somewhat faithful. And so Professor Green would have served with some notable intellectuals, great theologians, Benjamin Warfield and yes, others. So we are blessed by that heritage, even as we mourn to see where Princeton is today. Mike, what was your reason for republishing this commentary?
Well, I felt as though, especially for Christian lay people, for home educators, for Christian school people who want to get a handle on the Book of Job, that I felt as though, without dumbing down the material and the subject matter, that William Henry Green did a stellar job at being able to bring out the genuine highlights of the Book of Job in a lot of depth and detail, and yet again in a way that's very accessible to the average Christian. So that was really probably at the very heart of why I felt as though it was worth taking this and putting it back into circulation.
And what was your specific approach in editing this work?
Well, in this case, I spent most of my time trying to take some of the 19th century stylistic issues of sentence structure and grammar, and to bring them more into the modern camp, while at the same time being careful with the actual theological points of emphasis of the author Green. So I tried to do him good justice in maintaining the integrity of his original manuscript, but just simply making it more of a pleasant read and a digestible read for 21st century Christians by a way of taking that old stilted paragraph-long sentences, as it were, and bringing them more into the 21st century. So that was really my general approach to it. The only other thing that's noteworthy is the original book lacked any kind of comprehension questions or discussion questions at the end of each chapter, and I felt as though it would be again, a good thing for study groups, for Bible study groups, home educators, to include questions of that sort. So I went ahead and, as the editor and reviewer, I added in the questions that readers will find at the end of each chapter.
Could you comment on Green's original purpose, even in writing this book? The book is titled The Book of Job Unfolded. Obviously, he's trying to make it accessible to the listeners of his day. Anything that you could add to that from your research or just your work in editing?
Well, you know, him, Green, that is, he spent so much time studying ancient languages. And with that, then, of course, developing a strong passion and love for the Old Testament. And one of the most fascinating and the most enduring classics of, if I can use that term, in terms of biblical ancient literature is the Book of Job. And so many professors before and since Professor Green just really fell in love with the Book of Job and felt as though that irregardless of the culture, irregardless of the time and place, it is quite literally a timeless message in there that all of the people of God need to hear. So, you know, I think that was at the core of the interest that Green had in developing his work.
And perhaps a question we could have even used at the beginning is, why is the Book of Job so important today?
Well, I think, first of all, it gives readers a really fresh and deep appreciation for the sovereign power of Almighty God. And I think that, you know, that well-worn phrase from Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. Clearly, as one studies the Book of Job and William Henry Green's book that deals with it, you know, we're brought in a very personable way. We're brought to see that is actually not just a slogan, but that is absolutely true.
I think if I could add to your comments, the Book of Job is written as much for the person who suffers as for the friends of the person who suffers. And as I think of my role as a pastor, encouraging people through difficult seasons, I'm thankful for the Book of Job because as a pastor or just as a friend, it teaches you teaches you what not to be like. In terms of trying to dissect and parse everything that is happening. And as you said, it teaches us to rest in the sovereignty of God, which also means that we are not quick to judge or try to make sense of circumstances. I believe it's in the book of James that tells us to remember the patience of Job.
Yes.
And you need patience going through the book of Job. And that is what it teaches us, not to be so quick to try to figure everything out, but to rest in God's sovereignty. And the verse you mentioned, Romans 8:28, is such a beautiful verse, but that verse does require patience in order to see how God will work all things out. It's not just an instant, the next day, tomorrow, you'll find out, but rest in the Lord, wait on him, and he shall bring it to pass.
Well, I amend to your remarks, and I would only add that under the title of why study this book, of course, at the bedrock of it all, naturally, is the obvious indication that it's the Word of God. It's part of the Word of Scripture, of Holy Scripture. So it is worth our attention. It's worth our time. But as you say, sometimes the most valuable lessons the Word of God teaches us are not in the positive column per se, but in the negative column. It's an excellent book to teach us how not to be a comforter and how not to deal with and minister into the lives of people who are sick or grieving. And there's much that we do end up learning as readers. Again, this may be the 21st century, but we still need patience to wait on God by faith. And Job, as we know, as we come to the end of the book of Job, we find that Job did not end up with all the answers he would have liked. But one thing he did clearly come away with and gain, and that was a better understanding of God's infinite power, of his infinite wisdom, And that was the type of power and wisdom that he could learn to trust in.
Amen. How does William Henry Green's book help a reader benefit from the book of Job? What would you say are some of the encouragements this book will give someone who is approaching the book of Job?
Well, one of the things you see early on, which is one in my estimation, one of the most fascinating parts of the book of Job and the comments that are made about it is this this historic confrontation between Satan, between the devil and the Almighty, as Satan comes before the throne of God one day, seeking for permission to be able to afflict Job. And it's at that point that we see that God sets the boundaries of this evil servant, Satan. You can afflict Job, but then God clarifies only to this degree. You cannot touch his life. And so we see that all the way through, you know, the devil has his desires upon Job, and yet God is there as his guardian and his stay, and that he's not going to allow Job to be afflicted above and beyond what he's able to bear. And with all this, Calvin, I would suggest that what we discover in the book of Job, which is so valuable, is we see some of the inner workings of Satan. We see his dirty tricks, which are really quite ironically haven't changed much over the centuries. Satan knows where we are weakest, where he can get at us, sometimes through our wives and loved ones who can discourage us and just do things in our lives that take the heart right out of us, and how Satan uses these disappointments to weaken us and make us vulnerable to his fiery darts. Of course, could go on and on, but suffice to say that we learn so many tremendous, valuable, essential lessons on the Christian life by discovering and seeing just looking behind the curtain, as it were, as to some of the dirty tricks of Satan and how we can buttress ourselves by God's grace and through his Spirit to be able to stand when Satan brings some of these tricks our way.
And how would you say Green's book specifically helps the reader grasp these lessons and the overall message of Job?
Well, first thing I would say, Calvin, is that William Henry Green takes the personality of Job as well as the devil seriously. Many people try to fictionalize Job as if he wasn't a real character. Green makes it very plain from Scripture that the Scripture itself, commenting on this personality known as Job, refers to him as a real, live, historical figure. He's not merely some sort of fictional character. And then also Green points out the necessity to come to grips with the reality of the personality of the devil. He really exists. It's not a figment of people's imaginations or delusion. He really is the enemy of our souls, and he is someone who we have to take seriously. He does go about as that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But of course, within that then, Green points out that we can ultimately rest and comfort ourselves in the knowledge that greater is he who is within us than he who is in the world. And so, again, these are vital things. These are at the very core of what the Christian life is all about and standing by faith in Christ. So, you know, Green, early on in his book, Green brings home these truths four square.
Amen. We've commented on Princeton Seminary, where it is today, where it was in the past. Can you comment on specifically how Professor Green stood in his view of Scripture at that time of change, at least towards the end of his career?
Yes. You know, even from the 1850s when he began at Princeton all the way until of his death, he and the others who were part of the more conservative Orthodox wing of Presbyterian thought, these men spent almost their entire careers, sadly enough, battling against liberalism, battling against higher criticism and other such things. And quite frankly, although they did in many ways a stellar job at trying to hold the line, frankly, it eventually became a losing battle. And Princeton ultimately ended up embracing the death knell of higher criticism and liberalism. And of course, ultimately, it meant that the destruction of that once fine bastion of Orthodox Christianity. And so really, the book of Job unfolded that Green wrote about midway through his career as a professor was one of the rare, shall we say, periods in Green's life in which he actually put his pen to a more positive, constructive purpose of commentating on an important book of the Bible rather than just writing for the purpose of answering the critics of the Bible. And so that was kind of the air that he breathed. And I must say, in all candor, that like the rest of us, William Henry Green was not a perfect man. He was not a perfect theologian. Some of his views eventually did get at least tainted to some degree, like his perspective on the chronology of Genesis, for example, was not altogether perfect. We would take some issue with it. Again, he was infected to some degree by the intensely unbiblical and unrighteous, environment that he was forced to endure as a professor during that period in the late 1800s. And yet, at the end of the day, we can certainly look to Green as being a truly faithful, a scholarly man of God who never lost the battle for truth.
Amen. How would you say this commentary is best used in terms of personal study, or could it be used in groups, Bible study groups, Christian schools, home educators? What would be some of your comments on that?
Well, knowing the book very well as I do, I would say, first of all, it is perfectly delightful and useful for individual study, whether that be for people who are struggling with illness or the like, or perhaps trying to minister in the life of someone else who is. A perfectly helpful book, something they can easily digest and move through. Also for Bible study groups and small group Bible studies and so forth. Again, especially given the fact that it has, helpful comprehension questions at the end of each chapter, as well as an optional answer key, which is also available for people it's set up very well, even for home education use then, Calvin. I would say that homeschoolers, for example, in our own Christian Liberty Academy homeschool program have been using this very book by William Henry Green for decades now, with great success. So it really has a multiplicity of uses within the body of Christ.
And it's not, we should perhaps point out, it's not a 500-page deep commentary. I think it's maybe around 200 pages.
I think it's probably even closer to the 150 mark, Calvin. And I would say its reading level would be probably ideally somewhere suited for upper teenager to, of course, all the way through adult, for that matter. I do not think, in all honesty, that it's best suited for someone below the, let's say, high school level. I think just the subject matter and the vocabulary and all the rest just does not lend itself very well, anyway, to study groups and to individual use for children that, say, are below the age of 14.
Any closing remarks that you would make, Mike?
Simply that one of the greatest blessings of my life was in those days, about 27, 28 years ago, when my wife and I were poised to get married. We had a Bible study together dealing with the book of Job. And that was when I was first exposed to William Henry Green's writings and commentary on the book of Job. And it so blessed my wife and I that, I still, have been impacted by the lessons. So I just cannot possibly highly commend the book of Job and this particular commentary more than I can to people. The book reminds us, I think, at the end of the day, of our need to embrace a simple childlike faith, a faith which trusts God, even though we are not always going to have the answers we would like.
Amen. And the great hope of resurrection, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Yes, indeed. And, I think, too, at the very close of the book, there's a very tender remark that is made in chapter 42 of Job, where it says that Job's captivity was turned when he prayed for those very friends that had wounded him so badly. A very important reminder of the need and value of forgiveness.
Amen. Well, like all of Scripture, it is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for reproof, for correction, for doctrine, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, thoroughly prepared for the service to our Lord and Savior. If you are interested in purchasing the Book of Job Unfolded, you can visit shopchristianliberty.com, shopchristianliberty.com. That's all one word in the URL. Or you can call 800-348-0899. 800-348-0899. May the Book of Job bring a blessing to your life, and we trust that the Book of Job Unfolded will encourage you to that great end. May God bless. Thank you for listening.